like every time I turn around, whether he's speaking to me inwardly or whether he maybe use one of the ministers or someone else, that God, oh, you know what you said, especially my wife now. And if I'm just upset and I'm just walking around stomping my feet, now she can tell that between when I'm playing and when I'm serious.
Yeah.
She has a way of saying something like this. Praise the Lord, Pastor. And she knows she says a lot. Praise the Lord. And it's done to bring me back home, bring me back to where I should be standing. I'm not a cusser. So it's, in my case, it's not so much the cussing. Mine is more about saying, as a man of faith, saying something that contradicts my faith that I need. You know, it seems like that's so much our cussing. God took that away from me, and thank God he did. Because if I let loose from days before, some of your hair would either curl up or straighten out or grow, or I don't know what would happen. You know, because I had a bad tongue on me. But God is gracious. He knew I had to come before other people. So he took away my cussing. Praise the Lord. But anyway, a word. So he's always giving me this word. And so I got a word that's been playing over and over, playing or reverberating inside me, maybe for about 2 weeks now. And it came to me while I was doing my little daily walk. And I had an experience years ago with the Lord, and I literally passed out. I was someplace else. And I was walking down this pathway, and there was flowers and plants everywhere. And I couldn't figure out what was going on. And then I noticed I was holding somebody's hand. And I started to look up, and then because of the presence, I knew who it was. And I was pouring it out to him. I don't know what I was saying. I'm sure he did. But man, I was telling him everything and every pain. And I was crying out for the hurt. I know that. And it was such a beautiful experience. And right afterwards, and that count sort of came too. I was praying for someone. When I passed out, that God did something for that person. And since that moment, some 34, 35 years, somewhere in that time, I always go back to that place of me walking with God. So I still take my walks. I need just him and I. And people, you know, sometimes I'll do this, sometimes I don't. But in my heart, I'm still that little kid holding on to God's hand and talking to Daddy and telling Daddy about everything and asking Daddy questions because I don't understand how the world works and how things are. And I'm still that guy walking in that little, on that pathway in the garden with him, and he's still talking to me. And so I was out on the street the other day and a couple weeks ago, and I was praying. And, you know, I was griping, and I mean, I was praying. I was trying to tell God how to fix stuff, and set things, and what he ought to do for me, and how come he's a little late on some things. And you know how we get when I'm having one of those great spiritual prayer moments with God. And I'm just giving it to him. And then just that quick, I switched. And when I switched, I did what sometimes you do. Mm-hmm. We're praying and grabbing. And then when we end, we say something like this. And Lord, you deserve the praise. It's like we just switch gears. One moment we're griping and complaining and everything. And then all of a sudden we're and Lord, you deserve the praise. And you deserve the glory. And you deserve the honor. And so I'm at that place and I'm saying, Lord, and I'm serious about it in my heart. You deserve the praise. You deserve the glory. You deserve the honor. And when I said honor, it was like something hit me for a moment. And it was like there was such a pause in everything. And even though I thought I was saying the right thing, a thought ran through my mind. And it was, do I give him the honor? See, it's so easy to say, think about it. It's so easy. In a setting like this, we have no problems with saying, God, you get the honor. You receive the honor. We have no problem with saying, God, you receive the praise, Lord. And we're excited and the music is good and there's a presence in the room. And we can say so easy, you receive the praise, God. And we walk outside and issues are going on and we forget about the praise. We forget about the glory. And it's, if you're not careful, it just becomes one of those sayings that we throw out. And I think that's where God was dealing with me, that when I said, you deserve the honor. And the question was, do I really give him the honor? Mm-hmm. It's one thing to say it, it's something to live it. And today with the crazy cultural revolution that's still going on, it seems as though some of the world has kind of bled into the church. Mm. And it causes us to compromise sometimes our identity and sometimes our belief. Mm. There's so much. And many times that's particularly when you're younger, is that you want to fit in these two worlds and somehow, sometimes it gets hard to do. I'm so glad I'm 69. Because I don't know what I would do if I was 16. Because there's a whole new danger that seems to be out there now. And knowing what I know and knowing what I've seen, I don't think I want to do 16. I don't think I want to do 21. I don't think I want to do 22, 25, 29, because there's so many things that seem to just be pushing at them. And so there's this cultural stuff has somehow gotten into the church. We say to God, we give you the glory and we give you the honor. And as I was trying for a moment, as that word was reverberating in my head, I tried to define the word honor in my head. Mm-hmm. And to my surprise, I had a lot of trouble. I had a lot of trouble defining honor. Mm-hmm. I say it. It's kind of like when we say, love ya. We say it. We say, God bless you, without any thought to it. You know, that we're invoking a blessing upon someone. You know, that God, we believe that God is going to move in their lives. It's more than just some byword or just some kind of statement that we make or salutation or something when we say, God bless you. But what we are saying is, may the God of all the universe, the God who holds it all together, the God who is so big that he spoke, and he said, let there be.
I'm on. Yes.
God. Not little G. And when we say, God bless, the idea is that God Almighty is going to do something.
Yes.
And after a while, listen, I get in the habit. It flows out of my mouth so easy, just like the word honor does.
Yes.
And it flows out, and I really don't really, I'm just saying something because I don't always think about what I'm saying. So it was with the word honor. But I'm going to give a couple scriptures here in a minute. But let me say, that forced me to go do some research. And so I wanted to look and see how many times did I see the word honor and his cousin or her cousin. Respect. Let me just give you some idea of what I found here. The word honor and respect are implied is used over 1,800 times in the Bible. Think about that. Isn't that kind of crazy? I mean, the word honor and respect is that important to God. And I couldn't even define it. But it appears that these two words has a lot of meaning and a lot of passion with God. They mean something to God. They're not just, and as believers, that when we should walk in a state of honor, we should walk honorable. It doesn't take some government organization like the services or anything like that to be able to preach honor. But those of us who are believers and say we're Jesus, we should be walking and living out as though we're honoring God, honoring His word every day. It's the deal. It is such a simple word. H-O-N-O-R, five letters. And maybe because it's so small, that it escapes me. Sometimes it's so much easier just to use it, but it's small. And because there's only a few letters to it, maybe it doesn't have the importance. You know, we like great, big words. And we give importance when someone throws out a big word. And this one probably doesn't fit the category of a big word. And sometimes when it don't, it tends to slide to the side. And we stop thinking about it. Well, for me, the Lord wouldn't let it go. These two words demonstrate the very heart of God. Remember, Jesus came. And what Jesus demonstrated was the heart of God. So honor had to be a part of that. Honor had to be a part of Jesus' ministry. How he felt toward the Father, honor was there. He would not do anything on his own, but he did what the Father, because he honored the Father. Yes. He honored it, what the Father's heart was. I got born again, and forgive me, but I found myself for a long time trying to honor people, and I hadn't figured out how to honor God. It was so much easier for me, and please forgive me, it's a denominational thing, that we could gather together once or twice a year, have a great big appreciation for our pastors and those kind of people in leadership. And I'm not saying that we don't deserve it. What I'm saying is that sometimes we make such a big deal out of our appreciation for the pastor, and we sometimes lived every day without the honor that belongs to him. I'm a Christian. I'm not saying that you're not. I'm not saying that I'm not. I'm saying that somewhere along the line, I had to question whether I was giving God honor. So, listen to a quick definition, some definition. Honor. High respect, great esteem, distinction, adherence to what is right, or to a conventional standard of conduct, something regarded as a rare opportunity and bringing pride and pleasure and privilege. Throw this in, the compliment. Add the biblical definition, there's another word in there. It's called reverence.
Yes.
Reverence. So what I want to do is in the next few minutes is begin by going to the end and then coming back to the end. So I want to look at a couple of scriptures real quick, a few scriptures. And Revelation 5, 13, 14. I always have to type my little scriptures out. Revelation 5, 13 and 14. And I'm reading out the New King James Version. So if you're looking at something else, it may read a little different. But I think that it's pretty easy to pick up what's being said here. Listen to what it says. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. Then the four living creatures, they said this. Notice they said blessing to him. They say honor to him. You see, they say glory to him. They say power to him. And then there's an act. Then the four living creatures said, amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him who lives forever and ever. That we are to show our blessing. We are to show our honor, and we are to show that we give glory and power to the Lord our King, just as they did. Moses left us with a commandment, and you can find that Jesus spoke of it in Matthew, the 22nd chapter and the 37th verse. Listen to what Moses wrote. Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God." You ever heard that one before? Now let me just pause, because we don't get to use our love in this. Because our love is so limited. My love is so conditional. You know, I have those moments when I'm just highly in love with you. Until you step on my sore toe. And then there comes a problem with my love, you know? Especially if I felt like you did it intentionally, you know? It's hard to say when you just come up and stump my toe. It's hard to say, "Ooh, I love you, I love you. Ooh, I truly love you with all my heart." So mine's a little conditional, you know? "But you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind." That means that the love that we should have for God ought to go beyond everything you are, everything you hope to be, every part of your identity, that we ought to love God with everything, with all of our being. And I realize that it's hard for me to do it if I don't let God do something with me. And if I don't receive what his word says, it's hard for me to love this kind of way.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's hard for me to truly love as the Bible says. And since I found out I can't do it, I don't have any choice, because if I honor what he says, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to find a movement that I can get between him who is love and say, "God, help me to love people the way that you love people. Help me to love people with a godly kind of love."
Yes.
On my own.
Yeah.
I'm likely to get conditioned.
Yeah,
on this
exactly.
Yeah. And I know he said, "Oh, I think I can't." Here's the test. He said, "There's no greater love than this, that a man is willing to lay down his." Like, whoa, we're taking it too far, Lord. I'm doing good. I show up in church every Sunday. I make every Sunday school, and I've been doing pretty good about Bible study, Lord. But you telling me now that I'm supposed, look, I got to work up this. Lay down my life. Lay down my life. Ooh, I got to work. I got to work to this place that I'm willing. And when situations do occur like that, it's not something you've been given a whole lot of time to do. Most cases, it's a snap. It's in that moment that God is so moving in your life, and you're honoring who God is, that when it happens, it's the Spirit of God that just simply moves.
Yes.
I try to avoid those situations. But I sure do want it, folks. My heart thirsts and hungers to walk in this kind of love. Agape, this unconditional love that God speaks of.
Yes.
I can't seem to do it on my own. 1 Timothy verses 1 and 17. Again, I'm moving a little quick because I do want to get us here. 1 Timothy 1:17. Here's what it says. "Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, to God, who alone is wise." And I love that, because that keeps me from thinking about my little IQ. "Him alone is wise." Says it sounds like he's standing all by himself, doesn't it? Him all by himself is wise. And if he is wise, and I want to be wise, I know where to go.
Yes.
Because sometimes my personal experiences get in the way of wisdom and love. But it says, "Honor, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." Well, according to these scriptures, everything we have in every way we can, we're to demonstrate this, our love and our honor for God. The word worship. You know what one of the definitions of the word worship is? It's to bow down.
Yes.
The word worship is that, and it doesn't, you know, it's good to do it physically, And sometimes I just need to do that. But it's something deeper than that. Mm-hmm. Okay? Yes. Because the word worship, to bow down, really what it's saying is that, listen, is that you step out of the lead role.
Thank you.
You step out of the man or the woman that's in charge of your life. Worship is to lower yourself and put someone up higher than you. And when we worship God, we're not just good old buddies now. We worship God. I realize I need Him. And if you could just search Him out, and you could search me out, and I could see God, I know what would happen. The more of the majesty that I see of God, I just happen to believe that the lower I will get, I will keep getting lower, because He is so great. He is so magnificent. He is so, you know, everything that I can't boast, I can't brag, I can't look at myself and feel like I've done something or accomplished something. I just happen to believe that one day I'm going to get to heaven. And I believe I'm going to go in there, and if I'm not careful, I'm going to walk in there, I'm going to suck my gut in. I'm going to step in God's presence. And He's going to have Peter and John standing there at the gate. And they're going to have these two big old cubes of butter. And they're going to grease down this side. And then they're going to grease down this side so that I can get through the gate. Tell you how good I am. Let me tell you of the ministry of Urban Tyrone Williams and the great things that he has done. I can tell you stories. You follow?
Yes.
That I believe that I'm going to step in, and that if I'm going in a little bit into me, God's going to show me the truth. How many times when I thought it was me that did it, and it just happened to be the Spirit of the Lord beside you that accomplished, and I just happened to take the credit for it. I just believe that. I believe I made so many mistakes you can't even count them. I believe I whine and I cry and I moan so much. You guys have no idea. He gets up here and he starts talking about walking in faith and doing this and doing that and rejoicing and praise God and that. And you just don't see me though when I'm a basket case. You don't see me when I'm whining to God and I'm just telling you, hey, I ain't done nothing, Lord. They just make it about it.
Come on now.
And I'm going to start to tell God of some of my exploits. And God's going to put on this little film. He's going to say, and I have done this, and He's going to say this. Wipe the snot off your face. Straighten up yourself, Irma.
Yeah.
I had it then, and I got it now.
Yes.
I just believe that. You see, and it makes me want to honor Him even more, because I know someone that knows the end of the story.
Yeah.
And if I honor what He says and honor what He tells me to do, I already know what the end results are going to look like.
Come
on. Let me move here. There's a part that we have to act, not just a pat phrase we quote. We give you glory. We give you honor. And that's good in here. But the real honor begins when we walk outside the door. See, we can be very religious in here. Ooh, hallelujah. You know, we didn't have anybody falling out today. We didn't have anybody jumping and skipping across the chairs today because they were honoring the Lord. But see, when you walk out those doors there and you go back into a world that at times seems to be hostile to us and what we believe, the question is, will you still walk honorably there? Will you be what God says you do? And listen, being honorable isn't standing and taking it. Being honorable is being who God says that you are. It's honoring His word. Psalms 29:2. One more says, give unto the Lord the glory, do his name, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. So there's so many scriptures that we know to honor and worship the Lord with our voices lifted up to him, and to bend our knee to him. We got those. But now I want to shift gears for the next few minutes and talk about Christians we are to be and walk in that honor. Romans 12:10 says this. 12:10. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. This is not a thought exercise alone. This is not a thought exercise. This is what we live out every day. This is who we are.
Yes.
You see? Ephesians 6, 1 through 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. For this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. It seems like when Paul was writing to the Ephesians, he made it this way here, is that fathers, you're going to have to honor your children, and children, you're going to have to honor your father. And if you do so, there is a promise that comes with it, but we've got to learn how to honor each other. When my boys were playing ball, especially that one back there with the cap on his head and playing on the saxophone, and we would go to the game, he'd know he would hear this from me. Boy, play like you're Williams. Don't make me look bad. You know? And I'd holler it. I want him to know you represent Williams. Royal Athletic. When you go to school, sit in the classroom like you're Williams. The teacher ought to be asking you questions. But listen here. There is a place as a parent, I want more from my children than just saying they honor my wife and they honor me. I want more than just saying that. You know, I want some kind of corresponding action that back up what they say. That's where the real honor comes.
That's very true.
If you said, Dad, I honor you. Okay, I got that. But I'm going to watch you when you leave the house. I'm going to see how you do it. I'm going to see the vision and the dream unfold in you. And that tells me whether you honor me or not.
That's right.
You see? And I imagine God saying the same thing. In Matthew 15:8, Jesus had to make a statement like this. He said, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Hebrews 13:4. It says that marriage is to be held in honor so that the bed is not defiled. That's action, folks. That's not just some thought process. It's beyond the thought. Now it's taking action. Hebrews 13:4. Then 1 Timothy 5:27 says we are to give double honor to those who rule, preach, and teach us. Proverbs 3:9 says we are to honor the Lord from our wealth. Wealth is relative. All of us, no matter our financial strata, no matter what that looks like, according to the world, that is, wealth is more than just that because it's relative. You see, you may not have very much, but you got some.
Yes, sir.
You see, and what I fail to do is, I'm more wealthier than someone else is. If someone hasn't eaten, I'm more wealthier because I got food to eat. You see, and the opportunity to do that. Sometimes it's time. Sometimes it's just simply honoring them by giving someone time because they're going through something and they're struggling. And we honor God in the process. Okay? Proverbs 3:9. And the whole point is that to me, it's relative. It just depends on where you are, but I guarantee you there's some areas where you're very prosperous.
Yes.
Romans 12, 9 through 13. Listen, let love be without hypocrisy. Familiar with that one? Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation. Continually steadfastly in prayer. Distributing to the needs of the saint. Giving to hospitality. To those of us who desire to go deeper in our relationship with God, you got some directions now.
Yes.
You see? Because it's easy to get caught and stuck in a loop when it comes to honoring God. And you stop growing. You reach the plateau and you just say, I've given all the honor I can give. I don't have any more. I'm not recognized. It's how you live your life every day. We live as Christians honorable life.
Yes. Amen.
People ought to be able to come to us to find light,
yes,
not darkness.
Amen.
They ought to be able to see God's love through every one,
yes,
of us here.
Yes.
Because we live that place of honor. Yes. Lastly, I've been praying, God, am I allowing you to conform me into the image of your dear son? Is that the plan of God's life for me? Because when I honor him and I honor his word, there's a conforming going on. And every day I'm looking a little bit more like Jesus. After a while, I'm talking like him. I'm walking like him. I feel like him. Because he's shaping me. To be that. My last verse. Hebrews 1:3. And I couldn't think of a better way to close this out. Here's what Hebrews 1:3 says. Speaking of Jesus, the Son of God, who being the brightness of his glory, mm-hmm, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. When he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Then Paul comes back and says in another scripture in Ephesians, Paul says that the church is the body of Christ. We're the body of what I just read. We're the body who is the express image of God's person. We're his body. And if Jesus is the express image and we're his body, should not that be showing in the church?
Amen.
Because we're in him. Okay. Which means that we'll do like Jesus because we're his body. Jesus is God. And God said, and the scripture says that God is love. And we're the body of Jesus. So if God is love and we're his body, does that make sense?
Yeah.
That we ought to be demonstrating love. The church, folks, we ought to do a better job than the whole entire world because we have Jesus. We're his body. We're the express image and his body. And if God is love, how can we be anything other than that? We've been delivered from the image that the world will give us.
Yes.
Huh? Because we have Jesus.
Amen.
When they look at the church, they are to see us doing Jesus.
Yes.
Which brings honor to his Father.
Yes.
We are loved and we live in holiness, live out holiness, and we demonstrate the heart of the Father to one another and to the world. Because God so loved the world. We're the physical manifestation of God so loved the world.
Amen.
Our image is not division, divisiveness,
right,
separation,
right,
segregation,
right,
exclusion, or apathy. That is not our image.
Amen.
We are Jesus' body. What I believe that if you watch us long enough, you're going to see Jesus manifest. You're going to see God is love. Because of how we treat one another. And because of how we welcome the rest of the world. To come to know the love of the Father. There's a song that we don't sing much anymore. Sometimes when we're doing marches and things, it'll come up. They shall know us by our love.
Yeah.
Anybody remember that?
Yeah.
One to another.
Yeah.
He says, I'm wondering when they wrote the song, who the they was. Is that everything else? They shall know us by our love. And that love is just bounding in Jesus' body, the church. Honor. Honor. I'm praying this morning as we close out, I'm praying that every one of us in here, everyone would find a Lord, help me to be honorable on my job, at school, on the street, in the supermarket, with my children. Help me to honor you through my life. And I don't know. I pray that you would experience what I've experienced the last couple of weeks. That you'd stop for a moment and you would think, am I honoring the Lord? By what comes out of here, by what I do with these, by how I live my life, am I honoring God? Not how many times you came to church. What happens when you walk back out there?
Yep.
Am I honoring?